Good to have you with us on this Friday as we are getting ready for baseball tonight at Busch Stadium. The Cardinals and Pirates will start a series, and we'll have the ball game with the pregame show starting at 6:20, a 7:15 first pitch tonight. It'll be Quinn Matthews to get the start against Pittsburgh. It is Mike Claiborne, Matt Pauly, and Chris Ranji with you on the Gas House Gang. You can, and we hope that you will, subscribe to our YouTube page, KMOX Sports, and you can watch the show there. Of course, you can comment. You can comment on Facebook if you're watching us there on KMOX Sports, and of course, on Twitter at KMOX Sports. And we would love to hear from you throughout the course of the show today. 314-436-7900, the number to text in. And guys, yesterday, let's start there. Bullpen day for the Cardinals, and for a team that over the last couple of weeks, in terms of collective team ERA, it has not been particularly good, but they were able to salvage the finale of the series yesterday. Gordon Graceffo with a three-inning start, and he held them scoreless with four strikeouts. So he kind of gave them exactly what they needed and something they've lacked lately, Claibs.
Yeah, it was really important yesterday for him to get off to the start that he did. You know, three innings with a short bullpen, and the fact that the Cardinals weren't playing catch up after the first inning. And that was, I thought, really important. I mean, you look back at some of the games recently, you know, before they even get in the on deck circle, they're down two or three runs. And it just, you know, you can't do that every week or every game. But yesterday, Graceffo gave them just what they needed. Middle of the bullpen, well, they were okay. And then the back end, Riley O'Brien, you know, comes in and gets the job done. So it was truly a team effort, but I thought it was all about what Graceffo was able to do early.
Nine up, nine down. It was really impressive from him, and he didn't know for sure that he was going to be the guy to start that game until he got to the ballpark. He had indicated that he kind of had maybe an idea, just, you know, being able to look around at the bullpen and knowing who was available and knowing he's one of the guys that can go give multiples out of the bullpen. But I don't think the team expected him to get three. I don't think that's what they were asking him for. And he went out, and he was really good. And, you know, he's been a starter in the minor leagues, but that doesn't really impact yesterday because he's not a starter anymore. His arm isn't trained to be a starter. And he talked about it after the game. He said that he was trying to approach it just the way he would approach any other relief outing. It just happened to be that he was the initial out-getter. But I thought he was good. That's a tough, considering where the pitching was at, that's a tough thing to pull off. The bullpen game, they do it, and it all starts with Graceffo.
So he does that. So
here's a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's a question for you guys. All right, who's going to be in the pen today? Who's going to be available? I mean, because Ollie's gone through some guys over the last 3 days, and I think that's going to be the bigger challenge on who's going to be available. Stanek didn't pitch yesterday, so you would think he's there. Fernandez and who was the other guy who pitched the night before? They may be available, but he's going to be short again today.
Isn't that just that seems to be the life that the Cardinals are living now, that they are short every day.
Ferguson pitched – well, he pitched yesterday, but he didn't pitch the day before.
Yeah.
So maybe he can go again.
Ferguson pitched yesterday.
He
gave up three runs yesterday. They're trying to avoid him for, I think, right now. He has not been overly effective recently. So he's a – you know, break glass in case of fire kind of guy right now for the Cardinals. They've seemed to be okay maybe using Gastelum on back-to-backs. He's a young guy. So,
well, this will be 3 days in a row.
He's gone 2 days in a row.
Yeah, you're right.
Gone 3 days, yeah. So, again, they're a little short. We didn't see the other guy they brought up, Lundqvist. We may see him, I'm sure, tonight.
And I'm excited to see him. You know, he's somebody that the Yankees thought highly enough of that they made him a Rule 5 selection, and he opened up the season on the Yankees roster. He didn't have a very good spring, and the Yankees had never actually trusted him to get into a game. So even though he was on the Yankees Major League roster, he didn't pitch, got back to the Cardinals organization, did really good work at Memphis. And, you know, anytime another team wants you, that says something. Yankees wanted them. They just couldn't make the roster stuff work. So let's see what the Cardinals have in Lundqvist.
We have a message or a comment from Milo watching on YouTube. It says, Pedro Pajes, he could give you an inning.
He can.
I mean.
Listen, we have to go down that path again. And granted, he's been really good in that situation.
He's got a 4.5 ERA this year.
Yeah. You know what? I've seen enough of Pete pitching this year, okay? I want him behind the plate somewhere else other than on the mound, because if he's on the mound, it's not been a good night leading up to his appearance.
I need to get this off my chest because, you know, I'm generally a, generally a fan of Oliver
Marmol. Can I guess
Marmol.
What you're about to say? Oh, no, no, no. You've already okay. No, you've already spoiled it. Go ahead.
I'm generally a fan of Oliver Marmol, but bluntly, I have no clue, no clue what that man is doing when he chooses to pitch Pedro Páez over Brian Torres. I just don't know.
Well, you know, I got to be honest with you, man. I was thinking the same thing. I mean, hey, Ollie, I know you know your staff better than I do, but you know, come on, man. I mean, Torres looks like he's got a little bit more stuff going for him, but Páez kind of reminds me of Rick Rushel. That may be before your time. They call him Big Daddy.
Rick.
So, yeah, so you know what I'm talking about here. Or who's the guy who was in he was from the Dominican Republic. He pitched until he's like 54 years old. Just recently retired. Gosh, you guys know what I'm talking about. Kind of a rotund chap. He's from the DR.
Not Bartolo Colon.
No. He pitched for his last team, I think, was with the Mets.
I know what you're talking about. Dude, okay, that's going to bother me. I know exactly who you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah,
kind of reminds me
of him. Come on. All right, somebody figure it out and let us know. Text into the show.
Well, tap your hat. You know, you have a chance to challenge here.
That's true. Hey. So Torres in let's see, two innings of work, scoreless. He's only issued a walk.
Weapon.
That's it. A walk and a hit.
Well, because they were swinging at everything else. I mean, it was kind of hard.
So how do you? Okay, let me ask you. How do you guys feel about that? Because we know that pitchers or position players pitching has exploded in the last 5 years or so. It's so much more than it used to be. And I get it if it's a blowout, 10 runs or something like that. But do you have an issue with it?
I don't, because I think what you're basically saying is we surrender for tonight and we don't want to burn up another pitcher that we can use for tomorrow. And I think that, in a lot of cases, it shortens the game because guys go up swinging. And, you know, if a guy is a pitcher who has reasonable stuff, you know, they make more outs than they do hits. So I don't have a problem with it. I think the other question is, do we come to a point where if you're getting the brakes beat off of you and it's the seventh or eighth inning, can we just all go home? You know, skunk rule?
Dude,
can we implement the skunk rule?
You know what? I especially would have agreed with you before the pitch clock. Maybe it's not as necessary anymore, but just from a pitching is so hard to come by these days from that
yes.
standpoint. I am, you know what, man, if you don't want to cover the last two, three innings and you're down by 10 runs, I would not be upset if they just called the game. That's okay with me.
Well,
I know some people would be pissed because they paid for tickets and would have to go home early, but for the pitcher's sake, I wouldn't mind it.
You sold enough beer. I mean, they cut off the beer sales after the eighth inning, seventh or eighth inning?
Eighth inning.
So there's no reason to be here. You know, hey, listen, you're getting your hat handed to you. So let's just move on, man. I mean, what are you here for unless somebody's trying to pad their numbers offensively?
Kevin Wheeler idea is basically having like the emergency goalie of pitching where if a game is in a certain situation, you've got some guy who's never going to make it to the big leagues or is a former big league pitcher and he's just around and you're allowed to bring him out to throw the
So
the
an accountant?
He's an usher in section 112.
Yeah.
He has his glove nearby and he just hops over the railing and comes in and now we'll stay all night with a guy like that though.
Actually,
those
you know
guys
what?
Don't make it.
I don't mind Kevin's idea. You have a guy who's just dressed, he's in the clubhouse. He's there just in case, or he's out in the bullpen hanging out, and you can only use him. Maybe he's got a different color uniform, but you can only use him. You can only use him if the game is out of hand. I love that idea.
Okay, you know what? If he's there and he has some pitching skill, he's down in the cage just staying loose, you know, and if he's paying attention to the game, he says, uh-oh, I might have to go to work tonight. I just don't know what that's going to look like, though. Because he's going to be nervous, and he's going to lay too many meatballs in there, and all of a sudden we stand for an extra half hour.
Klabes, were you thinking of Carlos Carrasco? That's not
no,
who I was thinking.
No.
The texter says Carlos Carrasco, and then somebody else suggested CC Sabathia. That's not who I was thinking either.
Nope.
Was he a Met? You were thinking of somebody who was a Met? right?
I thought he played for the Mets, and I think he also played for the Red Sox.
Dude, why can I not?
Kind of a rotund chap.
Yep. I don't know, man.
I remember him getting a base hit in a game one night, and everybody was giving him a hard time, and he was kind of – I'm telling you, by the time I get to the ballpark,
yeah.
Or normally when these kind of items come up, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning.
You'll think of it tonight when you're sleeping.
Yeah, I'll call you at 2 in the morning.
Do it. Let me know, man.
Did he have a longer career than Julio Franco?
So what's funny is Julio Franco was that name came to my mind. I knew it wasn't a pitcher, but it came to my mind for some reason because I feel like it's somebody like that. You know what I mean? It's
I kind of want to say it's Bartolo Colon.
It could be.
Okay.
Was it the guy whose helmet flew off when he would take a swing? Because that's Bartolo.
I think it's him.
Okay, maybe it is.
Love Bartolo.
You know, a rare comparison, Pedro Pages with Bartolo Colon. They both did the same thing.
It is the Gas House Gang where we can't think of a guy. We're trying really hard to think of something. So if you know who it is, let us know.
And you know what? Here's the thing. Our listeners, they can't come up with it either. Because
that's right.
We normally would have somebody that would give it to us right off the bat. So
Colon was the first guy I thought of. That was the name that I came up first. Yeah. So let's just go with Colon.
I think it might be him. Let's just stay with him. Stay in the Colon lane. We can kind of justify that.
So go ahead.
Now that we wasted about 8 minutes of our lives on this one subject, what else do we have going on?
I don't know. Well, I mean, what do you want to talk about at this point? This is probably
the
best.
I'm wide open, man. The refrigerator door is wide open. Help yourself.
We'll take a break to reset. It is the Gas House Gang. And go ahead and text into the show.
Hey, is this Bartolo calling us now?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Me?
Yeah, there it is.
All right.
314-436-7900. Klabes, Paulie, Ron G, watch the show on KMOX Sports and subscribe to the YouTube channel. We'd love to have you. It's the Gas House Gang on KMOX. We will talk to Mark Sweeney just after 12:30, Cardinals analyst and former Cardinal. He will be on the show. Mike Claiborne, Matt Pauly, and Chris Ronji. I mentioned right off the top that Quinn Matthews is going to get the start today or tonight, a 7:15 first pitch. We got a pregame at 6:20. So Matthews will get the start. He is 0-2 so far, a 6.43 ERA. And we'll start with you, Mike. I mean, what do you think about what you've seen from him? Because this is somebody that Cardinals fans had been clamoring for a while. It hasn't gone great so far, but he's still got a lot of time ahead of him.
Yeah, he does. And I think tonight is the biggest start of his young career because, you know, he's thrown 90, almost 100 pitches in just 4 innings. We talked about the bullpen earlier and how it may be a little short. So he has to go at least 5 innings. So what does that mean? What does that look like? I mean, he's got to cut down the pitch count, obviously, for a lot of different reasons. Too many full counts for him. I mean, he goes too deep into batters. But tonight, he's got to be better. And I think that what we've seen early is the reason why the Cardinals didn't bring him up before now. I mean, he still is a work in progress. And, you know, he's got to figure out some things. And I guess the best way to do it is now at the big league level. You're in that evaluation stage of your season where you're going to get a look at some people, whether it's Baez or Matthews, and who knows who else may come up later. But this is where you want to see just where they are. So if you feel like they're going to be part of what you do for next year, get it out of the way now. And we saw him do it with Mason Winn a couple of years ago. They're doing it with Baez at this point. And I would assume Matthews is going to be in that bucket, too, of figuring it out at this level because you're not in Chattanooga anymore. You're not in Wichita or any other place. You're in the big leagues. And this is how it is every day that you're in the big leagues. So you have to be able to be creative enough to figure this out and really reduce your pitch count and get beyond the fourth inning. Fourth inning doesn't do you any good. Okay, you need to go deeper, and it starts tonight.
Yeah, I would argue that what he needs to work on right now, he can only work on at the big league level because he was getting the swing and miss at AAA. Well, guess what? Some of those pitches that guys in AAA were swinging at, they're not swinging at them in the big league. So he's got to figure out how he can get that swing and miss because the walks that he's issued 7 walks over 14 innings over his first 3 major league starts. So his whip is 1.79. That's just too much. He's almost averaging 2 base runners an inning right now. You can't do that. So he's here for a reason. I am very hopeful he gives you a little bit more length than what he's given you previously. But more importantly, I want to see him just start to be able to finish off hitters a bit more and start to figure out, okay, which of these pitches is actually going to work in the big leagues? Which of these pitches is actually going to get true swing and miss? And which of these pitches do I just need to stop throwing because big league hitters are not going to chase these pitches?
You know, we're talking a lot about pitching just because the numbers collectively have not been very good last couple of weeks, month really, for the Cardinals. But offensively, it's gone away a bit too. And with the exception of Alec Burleson, who's been really good this month, Walker has been good in the month of August as well. And even Nathan Church has contributed quite a bit. He's hitting for average over the last 30 days. So other than those guys, you're really not getting much production from really anybody else in the lineup. And is this kind of what we expected to happen, or did you think it was going to be better than this? I mean, personally, I do think the roster's thin, and I think we all kind of knew that going in, but I thought it'd be a little bit better at this point of the year.
Well, you know, I think the reason why it would even come up in this manner is you really haven't received a lot of productivity out of third base. We understood what left field was going to look like. Newt Barr was just here until Baez was really ready to take the next step. I think Church has made some significant improvement. Jordan Walker has probably made the most improvement of any player from last year. And I'll throw Alec Burleson in that as well, because he's getting a chance to play every day, and he's given us the consistency that you would hope for. You know, Weatherholt is a guy that this is his first year, and I think he's been pretty good. Mason Wynn is Mason Wynn. I mean, defensively, there can't be three other guys better than him at his position. The catching is a little bit of a concern, but I think overall the growth of the team is on course for me. We found out some things about the organization and the team that now we can address in this offseason.
Speaking about the third base production, I'm really bummed for Blaze Jordan, because all indications are he's going to be on the injured list. Thomas Tejesi was pulled out of the lineup yesterday for Memphis. Oliver Marmol in his post game said this is probably going to be something that takes a while. You look at what he's done lately. In the month of August, Blaze Jordan has a 764 OPS. He has started to put the ball in the air a little bit more. He's actually hit for a little bit average. 275 is his average in the month. And it's just gotten better. OPS month by month by him. June was 638. July was 564, which is really bad. And then August mentioned 764. So I'm bummed for Jordan that he's not going to be able to continue to do what he's been doing here recently, because I think we were seeing growth from him. Klaibs is right that they're not getting production out of the third base spot. Now we'll see. You know, Nolan Gorman's going to be given more of an opportunity. They've got Ramon Arias on the roster. But from a big picture standpoint, I mean, there's just not a lot of depth to the lineup at any given moment. We know that at the beginning of the season it was just the top four guys. Those guys for the most part have still done all right, but it's been a little, you know, J.J. Weatherholt has fallen off at times. Yvonne Herrera has not had the consistent season that you were hoping for him. So it's just been, it's been a year where on any given night you look at the lineup and you say, okay, maybe there's two or three guys that you feel really good about in that day, in that moment, and it's other guys that you still want to see take more steps forward.
I agree with you, Matt. You know, Ricky and John and I, we have our pick the click guys. And, you know, we're always searching for a guy who we think this could be his night. So, Fermin has been in that conversation. You talk about a guy like Torres, a guy who I'm really tickled about knowing his journey to get to the big leagues. But, you know, after that, I mean, yeah, you're a little short as far as guys that you can count on every night. The bottom portion of the order has always been a head-scratcher for this year. And I think if we had any productivity from the bottom, you would look at a guy like Burleson and Walker, they would be well over 100 RBIs, and they're close to it now. But, you know, because of the fact that we just don't have that consistency, and there's no real depth in the organization yet. So let me roll this out to both you guys. There's two guys in the minors right now. One's a catcher, one's a shortstop, and they're killing it in Rodriguez and Baez. Do you think about putting a glove on those guys and putting them at third base? And just seeing it, because they're young enough where they can learn the position. They obviously have a good throwing arm. Would you put, because if their bat is consistent, can you flip one of those guys?
I wouldn't mind giving it a shot. I don't know if you do it now, right? I mean, you probably need to give them.
No, I'm talking about in the
future.
In the off season.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when they come to spring training, they have another glove on. Or in the off season, you know, maybe they go to the complex and work on it, you know, or they go to their home country and work on it. Because if apparently these guys have the punch you're looking for, and we're already going to have, I think Bernal will end up being one of your catchers for next year. So you don't want that good young talent just sitting there, and you don't want to be in the minors too long as well. And if you're going to have them in the minors, let them be versatile.
Well, Paulie, what do you think about that? Because I know that sometimes organizations like to try and maybe it's not as much as it used to be because the DH exists, but they like to try and get guys they think who can really hit if they can convince them to move away from the catcher spot to, you know, elongate a career, that they would do that. But I don't know. I mean, if he's not playing third now, do you think that Rodriguez could make his way there and be serviceable at it?
Yeah, I do. So first off, the Jesus Baez thing, I don't think it would take much to move him over to third. He's already a guy playing short and second. You can, he may be the Cardinals' next everyday third baseman. So I think Klaibs is right on that one. For Rodriguez, I think you give him a look. Maybe you send him to winter ball this offseason and you let him have a two-week stint at third base and see what that looks like, and then you go from there. They are going to have a decision to make with him, because if he is the bat that everybody thinks he's going to be, and this is a – right now he is doing things in the minor leagues that – Albert Pujols did in his year before getting here. He's doing stuff that Oscar Tavares did when we were so high on him. I mean, the Rodriguez bat seems to be he's 19 years old and he is just destroying Double-A. He's doing stuff that you should not be doing. So him as an everyday catcher, if he continues on that offensive track, probably doesn't make a lot of sense. So then you have to have the question, okay, what needs to happen to get this guy in the lineup 155 games a year? Because with that bat, that's what you're going to need. And if it's a little bit of third, a little bit of DH, a little bit of first, keep him catching every once in a while, do whatever you need to do. But I don't think we should close the door on him playing some third base.
Matt Pauly, I know you've got to some prep work to do before tonight's game, so we'll let you go.
Yeah. All right.
Like take a nap.
Yeah.
Take a nap.
Nap time. That nap time is prep time. Thank you, buddy.
You bet.
That is Matt Pauly. It'll be Mike Claiborne and me. We'll continue with you. I'm Chris Ranji. When we come back, we will talk to Cardinals analyst and former Cardinal Mark Sweeney. He joins us next on the Gas House Gang. It is the Gas House Gang until 1 o'clock every weekday at noon here on KMOX. And we are very happy you're with us today. Tonight, baseball 7:15 is the first pitch from Busch Stadium. Of course, we're going to have the pregame show starting at 6:20. It's time to go to the Quiver River Electric guest line. We bring in one of our favorites, analyst on the TV side, former Cardinal. In fact, Mark Sweeney is with us, who was just on the call for the Orioles series on TV. And he'll be pre-post game tonight. And I think you've got you're back in the booth for the White Sox series coming up too, right?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, Ron. Thanks for having me on. And I appreciate this. And it's going to be an exciting White Sox series, but we got to take care of business with the Pirates tonight.
Oh, Klaibs might be muted at the moment. Let's see if we can get him back on.
You cannot mute Klaibs.
I think he may have muted himself. Are you there, Mike? No, we can't hear him. All right, so we'll try to figure out what's going on there with Mike. But yeah, so this team had gone through a losing streak. They get swept in Philadelphia. You were there for the Baltimore series. They had to salvage the finale yesterday, and it has not been a particularly good week for them. What in your mind has gone wrong?
Well, I mean, you got to be careful of saying what's going wrong, because you know you get swept with the Philadelphia Phillies. Ronj, we know how important it is for the Philadelphia Phillies. They're expected to not only go to the playoffs but also be a potential a challenger against the Los Angeles Dodgers, who everyone expects to be there. So that series didn't surprise me. It just hurt the last game of the series, and the way they lost that game was really devastating and kind of put a tone onto that road trip. But then when you play the Baltimore Orioles, this is a team that really struggled at the beginning of the year. They were very inconsistent. They have a new manager, and they came in, and Jackson Holliday was hot, especially the first game. And then you have Pete Alonso right behind him. That's when it really realizes it's not who you play, it's when you play them. I thought the Baltimore Orioles probably played a very good offensive two-game series. Yesterday was just different because the Cardinals looked the part and they felt good.
Sweet Dog, you know, one of the things that we're seeing in the game today, at least I do, are so many teams are streaky. You don't see many teams that are consistently good every night. You'll have a run, maybe a six or seven in a row, and then all of a sudden you lose three out of the next five. Why do you think we see it so often these days? Is it because of the pitching is not as consistent as it needs to be? But then again, you every time you talk to somebody, they'll tell you, well, we're not hitting. So where do you see it at?
I think the inconsistencies, claims, and we talk about it a lot, is runners in scoring position. Offensively, if you're good at that, you're going to win a lot of games. Obviously, I've always been a believer in if you get consistent pitching, you can go on a really good hot stretch. But I think the inconsistencies of the game is really offensively, runners in scoring position. If you're going against an opposition that's struggling with that, you're going to stay around. You're going to be able to win those games. And I think the Cardinals have done a really good job with that against their opposition. When they get consistent pitching, timely hitting, and obviously those top four guys have a lot to do with it with the Cardinals offense.
Yeah, and for the Cardinals, they have had a lot of difficulty in the season overall with runners in scoring position. I mean, they're, I guess in terms of average, their batting average, they are right there average around baseball, but they do leave a lot of opportunities out there too.
Yeah, and Ron, so I think that's the growing curve. I mean, offensively, we know what the stuff is in front of you. I'm not putting against it because there's a lot of stories here, and we could go down the line of when we were coming out of spring training, we were worried about where the offensive production was going to come from. I actually think they have done very well. I mean, yes, they've figured out how to feed the top of the lineup by changing the dynamic of the roster. There's some really good stories. Jose Fermin is one of those guys that I think we didn't expect a lot from, and you're getting a better version of this guy because he can plug and play anywhere you want to go. But I think if you dive into the numbers, they're not going to bear you're a dominant offense. But I think this Cardinal offense, along with the hitting coaches, I think they've done a very good job getting these guys ready, prepared, and having a plan of attack every single night.
You know, I would agree with you. And I think the one thing that we don't talk enough about as far as the coaching is concerned is the fact that they don't strike out as much as they used to. I mean, they are a team that gives you some really tough quality at bats. Now, you're going to have a couple of guys that are going to be walking strikeouts no matter who's around them. But I think overall, the cut down on the strikeouts and being a tough out is something that's that really stands out for me. And I think it's something that they can build on because their formula is starting to work. And I think once you get guys to buy in, and Mark, you played on some good teams in your career. Once you get some people to buy in, then all of a sudden becomes a lot more fun.
Yeah, Claves, I totally agree with you. It's a tendency game. And I say that because there's a lot of guys out there that have great stuff. But also, the secondary stuff is not landing for strikes. It's just thrown hard. It's the hard slider. It's the change-up combination. It's the sweepers. I think this day and age, as an offense, you're taught to be patient. You're taught to be aggressive at times. There's a variation. Back in the day, you're looking for your pitch, and you're trying to capitalize on that. And there was more aggression leading to walks rather than trying to work a count, trying to take some pitches early to try to get into the bullpen. There's a lot of different philosophies now, and I think just the way the game has evolved, I think the offense of the Cardinals have done that. And there's, to your point, there's outliers, but there's also opportunities that Alec Burleson has done, Jordan Walker, and you've seen J.J. Weatherholt at the top of the lineup be that consistent force where he's scoring runs.
Talking with Mark Sweeney on the Gashouse Gang, and you mentioned Walker, who has cut down on strikeouts. His percentage is much improved from last season. So when you when you see him, and of course we know that he's played like an all-star. He was an all-star. He won the home run derby. So he's had himself a really nice season. But as we get into the month of September here, what do you think about what he's doing now compared to the beginning of the season and how he's been able to keep it up?
Yeah, Ron Stair, he's one of the focuses on the scouting reports if you're the opposition. We saw it this weekend. I think Nathan Church was behind him in the order, and they threw him four straight balls when it came to a situation where he could change the game. He's earned that because of the year he's had. I don't think every opposition is going to take that tactic because there's still some holes that he has to cover up. But I think Jordan Walker has earned that right throughout the league. He's also put himself in a position where he's used the middle of the field a lot more this year. And I love his progression. I love where he's headed. And I think there's continued work to make him even a better baseball player.
You know, Chris and Mark, watching him grow in the manner that he has been fun, along with Burleson. So if you get one more guy between those two, can you imagine what this lineup will look like? Because you have to pitch to somebody. So you have to pick your poison. But if you get one more legitimate bat, you know, whether he's a lefty or a righty, and maybe it's Baez.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Could it, Sweeney, it do you think it could be him?
Yeah, I think it can be him. He's super athletic. I think they're trying to teach him to be more athletic in the batter's box. And that is not getting into the guessing game. It's just having him react. And listen, this is, you know, just a little small window of an opportunity at the big league level. I think a lot of prospective guys, and Clay, you know this, when you finish the season, you get to reflect on the totality of what you went through. Joshua Baez has an understanding. It's a small window, but he deserves to be in the big leagues now. There's going to be growing pains, and we've already seen it. But you also understand, too, this is a dynamic player that once you corral some of the things that he has to clean up, he can be a dominating force, and has an expectation to be a middle-of-the-order bat, which I think is great.
Yeah, let me ask you about that, coming up as a young player, because if that's what happened for you, right? I mean, it's pretty similar. You come up in early August, right? And then you played the rest of the year, your first season. So what was that like for you in finishing the first 2 months of the year and that being your introduction to the big leagues?
Yeah, there's a comfortability that you have to get to, and sometimes it takes a lot longer. Joshua Baez did it in his first day in the big leagues. I say that because it's not necessarily the home runs, but it's going back to your hotel or going back to where your apartment where you're staying and saying, you know what, now I feel like a big leaguer. It takes time, and it's a different time for every individual. But Joshua Baez did that against the Chicago Cubs, playing in Wrigley Field and having that moment that he has to have. Now, that being said, it's time to get to work. The conversations you have with your individual coaches, outfield play, being able to be versatile, which the game really exudes now. I think it really takes time. I did it as a role player coming up at the big league level and just feeling like, hey, man, I'm putting a major league uniform on and it's the St. Louis Cardinals, and this is cool. But you go back in the offseason and you go to fall league or you have to do different things to stay in the big leagues. You have to check those boxes with yourself rather than the coaches. And you have to feel like a big leaguer. And then where is my ceiling? What's my opportunity? And I think Joshua Baez is going to be able to do that along with the rest of the roster when the season ends.
Mark Sweeney, we appreciate you as always. You will have pre and post game on Cardinals TV tonight, correct?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it with Scotty Warman. And hopefully they can build on that victory yesterday.
It's always great to talk some baseball with you, man. Thank you for coming on again.
Thanks for having me on. See you, Claves. I'll see you later on.
All right.
That is Mark Sweeney. He, again, will have pre- and post-game coverage on Cardinals TV. Then he's back in the booth for the White Sox series, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. Looking forward to that one as well. Mike Claiborne, Chris Ranji, here's some time for your thoughts. If you're watching us on YouTube, you should subscribe to the KMOX Sports channel on YouTube and give it a like as well. And if you've got something to say, well, just comment right there. Maybe we'll get to it. Also text in 314-436-7900. Mike Claiborne, Chris Ranji on the Gas House Gang on KMOX. Just a few more moments to go here on the show, and we appreciate you for listening and watching. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to KMOX Sports. The page is very easy to find. Claibs and Ranji with you, and I'm going to get to a couple of messages here, and this one is coming from John, who says he's tired of the narrative how St. Louis is exceeding expectations of 95-plus losses. Those were idiots outside St. Louis. I thought 83, 84 wins. Do you think this team, Mike, is overperforming, performing about the way they should given the roster, or less than that?
It's a good question. I think they are performing a little bit above, and the reason why is you're seeing the growth of certain players like Walker and Burleson, and the fact that even like Jose Fermín, who, you know, you pencil him in as being the 26th guy on your team, but he's giving you quality starts, sub, pinch hits, defense. He's giving you a lot of things that you like, okay, yeah, this is what we were hoping for. And so I think we've seen more people grow with regard to what their role is that says that, okay, we don't have to worry about that filling that role for next year. We already have a person in place. And I think you can say that about just about your entire infield with the exception of third base and catching. The outfield seems like it's moving in the right direction, and we've seen those guys be better from the start of spring training to where they're at now.
This is a comment from Tom, who says that if they didn't lose all these one-run games and the 24 blown losses, they'd have at least 97 wins, and that is on Marmol's horrendous pitching decisions. I appreciate the comment, Tom. I could not disagree with that anymore. I think you're at the mercy of who's in your bullpen and the guys that you have. It's everything is about the roster. It's not about bad decisions.
I think Ollie's done a really good job managing what he's had to work with. You know, would you like to be better in the pen? Of course you do. But I think when you look at some of the guys who haven't lived up to what you would hope for, and let's go back to spring training, we'll talk about a guy like Matt Swanson, who we thought was going to be a significant player with this team this year. Didn't work out. You had some other guys who you were counting on to be a little bit more productive. It hasn't worked. So Ollie's had to go to plan B and plan C. And for the most part, he's gotten a lot of mileage out of people we didn't expect to be as effective as they are.
All right, last thing, last one for you, Mike. We're getting close to the end here, but Mark says that it is telling the Cardinals have not locked up Mason Wynn in a long-term contract. Does that mean anything to you? Because I don't think it necessarily does.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I think that what really raises the eyebrow, you sign a guy in J.J. Weatherhole who didn't have 100 games in his career in the big leagues, but they thought it was a good idea at the time. That doesn't mean there aren't discussions that are taking place. You know, I'm not privy to that, but I would think that at some point they would say, hey, look, we feel you're one of the cornerstones of our organization and we want to make sure you're here. I think in some cases, because of the way the CBA may shake out, we may not see those 10-year deals anymore. So a lot of things go into it, but I don't think it's telling at all.
No, and there's still time on him. He's only 24. I don't think they need to rush it right now. All right, Mike, we'll be listening. Oh, tonight you've got Cardinals Nation tonight?
Yeah, Cardinals Nation, Brad Thompson and Randy Flores, two pitchers from the 2006 World Series champion team. It'll be a lot of fun. Those two guys are great talkers. They have great stories, and I'm looking forward to getting with them tonight.
That is live at Cardinals Nation after our post-game show, so head on over there after the ball game tonight. Have a good time. Claibs, we'll see you there.
All right, man. Take care.
Mike Claiborne, Chris Ranji, this is the Gas House Gang. Again, subscribe to the YouTube sports page. And we will be back next week at noon on KMOX.